Good morning, and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church, and we welcome also those today who are listening by other means. It is good to be with you today. This Lent season, we are paying close attention to how the scripture texts present us with a space to wait and to listen. We take guidance from Psalm 46, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." God's word is present among us and delivers us from darkness. In our worship, we wait patiently in prayer. We contemplate the true meaning of the Lenten season, and we trust that the Spirit of Christ is at work in our salvation. We wonder, how is God calling Prairie Street into new life? We invite you to stand and take out your Sing the Journey, number 1. Ben will lead us in that. For our call to worship this morning, hear these words. We gather to share in the love of God. Lord, open our hearts and let us share your good news. We gather to share our witness through service to your people. May our lives bear witness to this service. We gather to praise God whose love is eternal. Lord, may you open our hearts today to sing your praises. As a response to the call to worship, we will be singing in the blue hymnal, number 76.
Thank you. Same book, number 575. Precious Lord, take my hand. Please stand.
And as we move into our time of confession, we invite you to, in the same blue hymnal book, in the back there's an insert called Wait for the Lord. We'll be singing that. And as we continue with our time of confession, I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath and hear these adapted words from the red hymnal. We confess to you, Lord, what we are. We are not the people we like others to think we are. We are afraid to admit, even to ourselves, what lies in the depths of our souls. But we do not want to hide our true selves from you. We believe that you know us as we are. And yet, you love us. Help us not to shrink from self-knowledge. Teach us to respect ourselves for your sake. Give us the courage to put our trust in your guiding and power. We also confess to you, Lord, the unrest in the world to which we contribute and in which we share. Forgive us that so many of us are indifferent to the needs of our fellow people, needs for food, clothing, and shelter, needs for love, understanding, and freedom from systemic oppression. Forgive our reliance on weapons of terror, our discrimination of people who are different from us, and our preoccupation with material standards. And forgive us, Christians, for being so unsure of your good news and so unready to tell it. Raise us out of the paralysis of guilt and into the freedom and energy of forgiven people. And for those of us for whom forgiveness is hard to accept, we ask that you break that cycle and set us free through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now hear these words of assurance. May our compassionate God, full of steadfast love, who gives us living water without discrimination to those who ask for it, and fill our hearts with a desire to act in kind, to share what we have with those who have not, and may we be a beacon to the world because of the love of Christ that we share. Love that is not full of fear or hatred or discrimination of those who differ from us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. I invite you to stand for these words of assurance. Because of God's great love for us, we have peace with God and access for God's grace, all through Jesus Christ, who, while we were still sinners, died to free us from the bondage of sin. Therefore, we may ask of Christ to give us the living water that quenches the dryness of our souls. In this, we know that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us share in Christ's peace as we speak with one another, passing the peace by saying, "May the peace of Christ be with you." For our scripture reading today, we will be reading from Psalm 63, 1 through 8. O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name.
Salmo 63, versículos 1 a 8. Dios mío, tú eres mi Dios. Yo te buscaré de madrugada. Mi alma desfallece de sed por ti. Mi ser entero te busca con ansias. En terrenos secos y inhóspitos, sin agua, con deseos de ver tu poder y tu gloria, como lo has enmerado en el santuario. Tu misericordia es mejor que la vida, por eso mis labios te alaban. Yo te bendiceré mientras tenga vida, y en tu nombre levantaré mis manos.
My soul is satisfied with a rich feast. and my mouth praises with joyful lips. When I think of you in my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadows of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me.
Mi alma quedará de todo satisfecha, como si comiera los mejores platillos, y mis labios te aclamarán jubilosos, al pensar en ti recostado en mi lecho, al meditar en ti durante mis desvelos. Porque tú has sido mi socorro. Alegre, viviré bajo la sombra de tus alas. Mi alma está apegada a ti. Tu mano derecha me brinda apoyo.
And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for the fruit and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then cut it down."
Y de Lucas 13, 6 a 9. También les dijo esta parábola. Un hombre había plantado una higuera en su viña, y cuando fue a buscar higos en ella, no encontró ninguno. Entonces le dijo al viñador, "Hace 3 años que vengo a buscar higos en esa higuera, y nunca encuentro un solo. Córtala, para que no se desaproveche también la tierra." Pero el viñador le dijo, "Señor, déjala todavía 1 año más, hasta que yo le afloje la tierra y la abone. Si da fruto, qué bueno. Si no, córtala entonces."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Most gracious God, thank you for your servant Nelson. Thank you for the healing that he has experienced in his life and for bringing him back to us. We appreciate his leadership, Lord. We thank you for the words that you have given to him to share with us, and we pray that we may be receptive to those. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you, thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name. God is good. 16 years ago, when I was president of Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, I got word that academic Dean Willard Swartley had suffered a heart attack in West Virginia and was in critical condition. I was on assignment in Ohio. I canceled my appointments that weekend and made haste to a hospital bedside in West Virginia. Medical staff suggested that I spend just a few minutes in the room with Willard because he was in such vulnerable condition and the next day or two would reveal whether he would survive. Willard was weak, but gave a big smile of recognition when I came into the room. We chatted just a minute or two, and then I said, "What are you thinking about, Willard, as you lie here with tubes into you and resting?" Willard said, I'm going through the book of Psalms in my mind, and I'm trying to remember something from each of the Psalms. There's 150. I think I got all but 10 of them, he said. Then Willard shared a vision he had had the night before in the hospital room. Willard said, Jesus came into my room and he knelt at my bedside right there. He pointed to the place at the corner of the bed, right there, and he prayed for me. And then I knew I was loved and everything would be all right. In fact, Willard is very much alive 16 years later, and things are all right. I never forgot the spiritual lesson I learned that day at Willard's bedside. At the physically and spiritually most vulnerable time of his life, Willard was immersed in the scriptures. He was just bathed in the scriptures in his mind and spirit, and he was aware of the presence of the Lord he had served for decades. And I resolved as I drove back to Elkhart that day that I was going to shift my Bible study a little bit away from head knowledge and toward a bit more heart knowledge. I wanted to use the scriptures afresh to feed my soul and to give me sustenance for the time when my life crises would come. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. The superscription to that psalm, Psalm 63, says this is a prayer of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. We know from 2 Samuel that David was in the wilderness of Judah because King Saul was out to kill him. Saul was a faltering king in trouble. David was a brilliant young leader whose successes made Saul jealous. Saul was mentally unstable. He was throwing spears at people who displeased him. He murdered 85 priests who had shown hospitality to David. He was sending an army of 3,000. He was taking an army of 3,000 into the desert to track down David and kill him. What are the spiritual resources that you draw on when you're in crisis? How are you preparing spiritually and emotionally for the time when something or somebody is out to annihilate you, or when you face some other daunting challenge? At 5:30 on a Friday morning in January, staff at Elkhart General Hospital prepared me to go into the operating room for unexpected open heart surgery. A surgeon was about to split my sternum, stop my heart for 90 minutes, and redo the plumbing on the pump that keeps me alive. The fragility of life comes into focus at a time like this. And you treasure life and you treasure the people you love. Sisters and brothers from Prairie Street anointed me for divine healing on the night before surgery. Family and friends on five continents were praying. Daughter Andrea phoned in, talked a while from California. Daughter Laura came down from Chicago and joined Ellen with me in the hour before surgery. I want to read you a psalm, Laura said. And she started into a psalm I knew from memory. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. And the first Sunday I was invited by the pastoral team back to preach here, that's the lectionary psalm. One of the best investments of spiritual energy I've made since being with Willard at his hospital bedside is memorizing portions of Scripture, especially the Psalms. The old King James says in Psalm 118, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." That has new meaning for me. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist understood that the word of God is something we stash away in our hearts, at the essential center of our being. We feast on the word of God. We hide it there. We put God's word at a place of internal accessibility. The whole of the Bible matters to people of faith, but the Psalms in particular teach us to pray. They give us language and models for how we present ourselves to God and listen to God. There are haunting prayers that express pain or doubt. There are magnificent thanksgiving psalms. Some people are put off by the psalms that call on God to destroy enemies or to beat up on the wicked. But daily exposure to the psalms has taught me that it is safe, in fact, it is wise for us to bring to God the full spectrum of the emotion we feel, whatever that is, the spiritual energy we have. We bring that to God, even if it's ugly. Thanksgiving, despair, hope, rage, fear. We bring these emotions and these needs to God. I don't have human enemies that I want God to destroy, but I do want God to stop the threat of heart disease. I want God to stop the killing machines in Syria. I want God to end the kind of slaughter that happened in Kansas this week. Psalm writers bring their rage or their fear to God and they say, "Do something. Act." When I read the Psalms, I often take time to commit at least a portion of that psalm to memory for that day, even if it's just one verse. This is the way I often do Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is just a Latin term that means divine reading, and it's an ancient spiritual practice of just staying with the Scriptures and not rushing through them, but simply stopping and visualizing and absorbing and entering in. And in my case, I like to try to memorize a phrase. I might not remember it a week later, but I remember it that day. It's a discipline of slowing down and letting the scriptures soak into our soul. Do that for a few years, and eventually whole sections of the Psalms or the Sermon on the Mount are just familiar to you. The language is part of your own language. It penetrates the heart. Words and phrases then percolate up at times that we need them, when we pray or when we are in crisis or go about our daily lives. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. If you want to be an athlete, you show up for practice, even when you don't feel like it. If you want to play piano, you learn scales. If you want to be an artist, you carry a sketch pad and use it. If you want to grow in faith, you practice the presence of God. And you take time to attune your heart to God and to learn the scriptures. I remember a Jewish friend in England who became Christian and was part of our Mennonite Fellowship in North London, Howard. Some of you know Howard. I remember him saying, "Why is it that you Christians don't know the teachings of your rabbi?" You know, he was from Jewish background where you memorized the scriptures. You knew the Torah, or you knew the Mishnah. You memorized that stuff. Why don't you Christians, and he now is a Christian, but why don't you Christians know the teachings of your rabbi? You learn these things. Put them in your heart. Isaiah 55, another lectionary text for today we didn't hear yet, says, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why are you chasing after all these other things? Come and feast on the Word of God." In this era of mass media, and I sometimes feel bombarded 24/7 by the media, we're so connected, we get a daily tsunami of temptation and ideas and stimulation through marketing, through the half-truths of a political campaign, through fear-mongering in our society, through a kind of sexualized entertainment. We also live in a fabulous culture that is rich in the arts, in literature, in healthy sports and worthwhile entertainment. I want to celebrate these rich gifts of God, the arts and the literature and the beauty in God's created world. I want to engage that, and I want to live life fully and not just sort of somehow be a spiritualized person with my mind in heaven. I want to engage this life, but we have to seek out what is good, seek out what is rich, what is right, and include in that diet the scriptures. Psalm 63 reflects choices and disciplines that prepared David for his crisis in the wilderness. Psalm 63:2, "I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." Here's a man that went to the house of God. Probably sometimes when he didn't feel like it, you show up. He says, I will lift up my hands and call on your name. He was accustomed to bringing his needs to God. He said, I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And the watches of the night are when we are awake because we are worried. We have too much on our minds or too much in our lives. Or maybe we're awake because the incision in the chest hurts too much to let you sleep. And that's a verse that I've feasted on sometimes in recent weeks. Elsewhere, David says, I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. The Psalms refer to the great congregation where the people of God come and recount what God has done. And I think of our sharing time here at Praise Street where we tell the mighty acts of God. We stand up and say, God did this. And we bring that word of praise and testimony to the people of God. And that builds our faith and the faith of the community. I told Ellen and Laura that morning before surgery that I felt a deep peace. And I surely did. I was not afraid. And I said to them, you know, I've been incredibly blessed. I'm grateful for my 61 years, the opportunities and joys God has given me. And statistics for survival from that kind of surgery, especially for someone in my physical condition, statistics are very good. So I could look at the statistics, but still when they're going to stop your heart for 90 minutes, you reflect a little bit. And yeah, I told Ellen and Laura that were I to die, I've had a full and wonderful life. I've not been cheated out of anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then a phrase from Psalm 63 came to mind. Your loving kindness is better than life. I realized that I was in the hands of God. And we are in the hands of a God who created us, who knows what we need, who sees our future and holds our future. And that love, that abiding love, is better than life itself. Knowing God, or even just seeking God, that hunger for God is the most satisfying agenda we humans can have. When we come to understand that God's love is better than life, death loses its sting. A whole room full of us were reminded of that again yesterday at Howard's funeral here in this room. You know, he's free. God's love is better than life, and death loses its sting. And when we have that perspective, that death has lost its sting, then paradoxically, I believe we can live life more fully. We don't become disengaged and otherworldly, but we say, this is temporary, this is a stage, it's a good stage of our being. God gives us life in this physical world, and we just enter into it fully and celebrate it and thank God for it. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And all God's people say, amen.
In the green, sing the journey number 93. You will find the verses and refrain in English on the right side. I'm guessing many of you will recognize this tune, so hopefully it's not too difficult to have the words not with the music. Thank you.
for our sending hymn in your blue hymnal number 429, Go Now in Peace. We will sing this all together as a whole congregation once, and then we will split and do it as a round twice through. So we'll do it by sections. We'll start here, go to the middle section, and go over there. And since our middle section is so hardy, maybe those on the edges can kind of join with their wings. When we get to the end of singing it the two times through, you can just repeat the You May Go. Please stand, and let's praise God with some holy noise.
For the Lord says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So now, may your thirsty souls drink deeply of the word and the power of the Spirit and be satisfied. And yet, may you go out restless and hungry, seeking God's will, and follow where Jesus leads. Amen.